Today's scripture reading is from Zechariah chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another.
Please join us in a responsive prayer here. When everything is wrong, God invites us to hope. May your hope grow our hearts. When Christmas doesn't feel like Christmas, peace can be hard to find. It can also be hard to find peace, hustle and bustle of Christmas celebration. Christ invites us to the heart of Christmas, to true peace that needs no decoration. Fill our hearts with peace, O Lord.
Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, babe of Bethlehem, help us to discern the true meaning of Christmas and enlarge our hearts with your peace. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Pastor Cassie kind of gave you some background as to why I'm up here and whatever. So this is a little different having the boss here watching you. I always kind of assume she's watching online, but this will be different. And I did mention to her she's not allowed to doze off either. So. Same goes for the rest of you. Today, we'll continue with our Advent message series based on the heart that grows three sizes, as Pastor mentioned before. You'll recall last week that Pastor Cassie spoke about when everything is wrong in the context of the dreaded Grinch that tried to steal Christmas. We even had an actual visit from the green guy himself. And I think that's his arm sticking out of the tree right there, if I've got that correct. So he's not too far away. Well, this morning we will address the perennial topic that comes up every year, and that's the authenticity of Christmas, or when Christmas isn't Christmas. So take a minute and think of something that is very Christmas to you, but really isn't part of the true meaning of Christmas. Anybody want to share? Anything come to mind?
Cinnabons on Christmas morning.
What's that? Cinnabons on. Yes, so that's true. Yeah, I don't think at the manger they had Cinnabons. I'm pretty certain. They had a lot of things.
Ravioli making.
There you go. Jingle bells, Santa. Sorry, but, you know, it's not really, you know, but certainly Black Friday, right? I think we can all agree on that one. Now for the other side of that question, however, what is truly the Christmas spirit? What are some examples of things that we do or have done that are part of the true meaning of Christmas? Anything come to mind? Okay, yep, great, excellent. What was that? Well, yep, that's what I wrote down, exactly. Sing Silent Night, retell the story of the birth of the baby Jesus. Our giving tree, certainly. Donating the proceeds from Christmas Eve to food pantry this year. I think that's when we talk about the spirit of Christmas. That's kind of some of the things that come to my mind. It's relatively easy to make something seem as if it fits in the Christmas story. Put sleigh bells in a song, wrap a present in green and red paper, or cut cookies in the shape of a snowman or Santa or a cow. This was a little tough to work a cow into today's message, I'll be honest with you. But I did. And then you have to conjure up the picture, the vision of the manger scene, and there were plenty of cows there. But do that, and it seems that the holiday is right around the corner. Of course, none of these things really have anything to do with Christ's birth, but the colors, smells, sights, and sounds are all attached to the seasons. Sometimes to get to the heart of what Christmas is, we have to strip away these things or parody them in order to see them in a new way. A parody is a stylized imitation of something generally recognized. Think about Monty Python, for those of you that can remember him or them. Weird Al Yankovic is another good example. And of course, Dr. Seuss does a great job of parodying life in general. The scripture contains parody as well. The story of Jonah is a parody of the traditional prophetic message, and this story is told in this way so that we can cut to the heart of who God is and what his good news message is for all of us. So what can we strip away from Christmas and have Christmas still feel like Christmas? Well, you know, the Grinch is probably as good an example as there is. He seems to think that Christmas is about presents and a tree, certain foods, celebrations. What does Christmas look like in our community, if you think of it from that perspective? And a lot of it we've already talked about this morning. We just finished Forever Christmas. Our entire downtown is decorated with trees from all the businesses and churches in town. We had a Christmas parade. It's very Christmas here in Plattsburgh right now. All those things are great fun. They bring people together. They're great traditions and certainly part of our culture. And for all those reasons, we should not stop doing them. Certainly, they provide great benefit, but they are of real benefit only if they are in addition to the true meaning of Christmas. Remembering the birth of the baby Jesus, and most importantly, why God sent his son to earth to walk and teach among us. Our traditions should never overshadow or become more important than the true meaning of Christmas. After all, Christmas is fundamentally about who God is as revealed to us through Jesus. Sometimes we think the Grinch is the bad guy in the story, but the Who's celebration isn't without criticism. Maybe the Who's have gone too far in their celebration. Could it be that at times we also go too far? So we like to talk about this thing called the spirit of Christmas, but what does that mean exactly? What does it look like? Well, our scripture today from Zechariah is a pretty good start. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Or another example is Isaiah from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather, they all come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. Should have been cows. The multitude of cows shall cover you. I'll take a little license there. The dromedaries, however, from Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense and shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. What have we been missing in the nativity story that needs to be told? We need to be careful not to make judgments on whether something is Christmassy based on style or preference or our own prejudices. People hold their Christmas traditions with a tight grip, and the point isn't to now become the Grinch in someone's experience of the holiday. Rather, it's to call attention to the depth of the Christmas story and offer additional ways to connect with the mystery of God's incarnation. Offer hope that there is more to the story than we might realize, rather than setting some kind of dictate on what is and isn't Christmas. Every year at Advent, we put candles in the window. You know, the ones with the electric bulb, and you light them or they come on automatically at night. Well, it seems like a nice winter thing and kind of a warming thing, but it's also a reminder. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He brought light into the world, but we are the light of the world, and so we share that. I used to think that the word Advent meant waiting, because this is a time of waiting. Especially when I was younger, it seemed like I had to wait forever for Christmas Eve to finally show up. You open the windows of the Advent calendar waiting for Christmas. But the word Advent means coming. Christmas is coming. Those shepherds, when the angels came, they had no idea what good news was there. But they were assured the good news is here. So put up the decorations. Christmas is coming. That's Advent. Christmas is about many things for certain, not the least of which is peace. Peace with your family, yourself, and others. In a season that encourages peace on earth, there's no better time to drop our differences, make amends, and heal old wounds. Christmas, a time to celebrate our faith and love with family, friends, and yes, even strangers. We gather to enjoy holiday meals and sing carols, celebrate Christmas tree lightings, watch the joy of children eagerly waiting to open their gifts. But for some of us, the holiday brings up continued conflicts and differences with others. New York Times columnist David Brooks notes that at least 27% of Americans are estranged from a member of their own family. Making Christmas peace with others and ourselves is possible. Reconciliation is one of the best gifts to give and to receive. Making Christmas a time to offer an olive branch and end a disagreement. Even the prophets of ancient time described the child to be born as the Prince of Peace. When the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, they declared peace on earth. Even as we journey through Advent, we light a candle that symbolizes peace. What can hold us back from offering peace? Well, it could be stubbornness or pride. Someone once wrote, "Pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right." It takes spiritual strength along with humility and grace to extend that olive branch. Prayer also helps. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace," in the words of St. Francis from my favorite prayer. This season, find the courage to make some Christmas peace with your son, daughter, sister, friend, colleague, or whomever. Pick up the phone, send a text, write a letter. The relationship may be restored or not, but it just might go better than you think. You'll never know until you take a step of faith. Remember that making peace with others also heals our own wounds, and we discover a priceless gift that makes our lives, relationships, and world better. So as I was kind of doing some research to put this together, I came across a bunch of Advent quotes, and a couple of them kind of stuck out to me. So I thought, as I close here and finish up, I'll share these and leave these with you. This first one is from Frederick Buchner. "In the silence of a midwinter dusk, there is a sound so faint that for all you can tell, it may be only the sound of the silence itself. You hold your breath to listen. You're aware of the beating of your heart. The extraordinary thing that is about to happen is matched only by the extraordinary moment just before it happens. Advent is the name of that moment." This one comes from Amy Grant. "Faith is salted and peppered through everything at Christmas. And I love at least one night by the Christmas tree to sing and feel the quiet holiness of that time. That's set apart to celebrate love, friendship, and God's gift of the Christ child." These last two come from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor in pre-Nazi and Nazi Germany. And he was very anti-Nazi. And matter of fact, so much so that he eventually got arrested and he was put to death for his resistance and his beliefs. But he's a pretty profound kind of guy. So these last two come from him. "Jesus stands at the door knocking. In total reality, he comes in the form of the beggar, of the dissolute human child in ragged clothes asking for help. He confronts you and every person that you meet. As long as there are people, Christ will walk the earth as your neighbor, as the one through whom God calls you, speaks to you, makes demands on you. That is the great seriousness and great blessedness of the Advent message. Christ is standing at the door. He lives in the form of a human being amongst us. This last one I really like. A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside. It's not a bad picture of Advent. A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside. It's not a bad vision of Advent. When God sent Jesus, he opened the door to freedom for you and I. Amen.